If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Here's the wiki on Chicago's Scott Turow, the American author and lawyer. Turow has written 13 fiction and 3 nonfiction books, which have been translated into more than 40 languages. He sold more than 30 million copies. Turow's novels are set primarily among the legal community and the fictional Kindle County. Films have been based on several of his books. He was born in Chicago to Russian Jewish descent. His father was an MD, but it was his mother, Rita, who he credits as serving as a beacon for shaping him with her love, support, and boundless faith in me. He went to New Trier High School, Amherst College. He received an Edith Meyerless Fellowship to Stanford University's Creative Writing Center. He became an attorney. He graduated from Harvard. You know some of his titles. If not by the books, then maybe by the movies, although there have been many of each. But Burden of Proof, Pleading Guilty, Personal Injuries, and the list goes on. And he's receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award, the Fuller Award for Lifetime Achievement from the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame goes to him this week. Scott, welcome back. Thanks for joining us this morning at a time when I think you're normally writing, so I appreciate you giving us a little of your time.
Well, you're right about the writing, but it's always a pleasure to talk to you, John. Thank you very much for giving me the time.
Yeah, we haven't visited in a while. First of all, congratulations.
Thanks. I am well aware that they don't give you lifetime achievement awards when you're at the start of your career. So there's an unspoken omen in this, but I'm truly humbled and grateful for this honor.
I was just reading that you spend a considerable amount of time sitting and writing every day. Is that still true? Like 5 hours a day?
I certainly hope for 5 hours. It's going to probably exceed that today because I'm grinding like mad. My wife is out of town, and so I've got the time to write. But I was at it probably by 8 a.m. this morning, and when you and I hang up, I'll do a little bit of business, and then I'll get back to it by 2. So, and I'll work until at least 5. So that'll be more than a 5-hour day.
This is a new book, a new novel?
Yeah, I'm getting close to the end of this draft. And of course, you know, this is the stage where, as I say, you can lie to yourself because nobody else has read it. So of course I think it's wonderful, but you know, the rest of the world will be around to wake me up shortly.
Can you share with me the premise of this one?
Well, this guy, go back to Rusty Savitch, the hero of Presumed Innocent. And Rusty is now going to do a stint as a defense lawyer. So that's the story and outline. My editor hasn't read it yet, so I hesitate to say more because things may change between now and then. So we'll find out.
I would imagine, too, any author hates, tell me what you're writing, tell me what you're working on. You can see people's wheels start to judge the creativity or plausibility of their idea. You must not even like that question.
I think it's a natural question. And quite frankly, when I meet my writer friends, I ask them that. So I don't think it's taboo. It's just, it's hard to answer, especially when you're talking about a novel, when so much of it is, you know, the mood and the characters and,
right.
You know, not just the outlines of the plot.
Are there times, though, where when writing you are in a groove, you feel the prose is coming easily and it's really good stuff?
I am one of those people who really and truly loves writing. And when I am writing and when I'm in the thick of it, you know, the beginning is hard, but I get into what, you know, the famous Chicago psychologist, Csikszentmihalyi, called a flow state, or, you know, some people call it deep play. But I, you know, tell Adrian frequently I'm going upstairs to play with my imaginary friends. And I really am engrossed the way you know, my 4-year-old granddaughter gets engrossed in her imaginary world. So,
that's interesting.
And it's fun. I mean, it is a great gig. You know, imagine playing like a child every day.
Well, I've never written a novel, but I sometimes post on Facebook. And this is what I know about. This is what I know about. Everybody is a prose stylist now, but this is what I know, that you write a thing and it looks pretty good, and then you kind of dust off your hands and go, see, I can write. And then I'm like, okay, do that tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day, even when the beautiful idea or phrase isn't there, but you got to get up and do it. There must be days like that as well, huh?
Yeah, there are. I mean, especially when I start out on books, the older I've gotten, the harder it's gotten to begin. And, you know, I grope and I feel like I'm pushing a rock around. And, you know, and in that stage, I really feel like my desk chair ought to come with a seatbelt so that I will stay there and keep working, because the natural inclination is just to get up and because it's hard, and often I have the sense, no, this isn't right. So a day of work can be unrewarding. But, you know, when you get to the stage I'm at now at the end, it's, you know, the rock is going downhill.
Yeah, it sounds like it. How difficult is it to come up with the premise for a book? Is that inspiration you wait for, or can you sit down and muscle out an idea for a book?
No, that, you know, that takes a while. You can ask me now what I think I'll write next, and I can't answer the question. And, you know, writing a novel, you've got to live with the idea for, at least in my case, a couple of years. And that means that the idea has got to be one that excites you every day for those 2 years. So I don't come up with those ideas just that easily. What I'm writing about in this book is something that I've wanted to write about, you know, forever, when the criminal justice system enters a family and, you know, how they respond to it. And, I think it's, I'm not the first to do it, but, you know, I'm doing it my own way.
Yeah. You said 2 years, Scott. Scott Turow's on the phone line, achieving from the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame a Lifetime Achievement Award, the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame this week, the Fuller Award. You said 2 years, Scott, is how long it takes you from maybe conception to turning it in?
Yeah, at least. I've been on a 3-year cycle until I stopped, until I stop practicing law for the most part. I still have one case, but, once I didn't have to divide my time as much, that happened in August of 2020, my cycle has kind of picked up speed. So I'm sort of down to 2 years between books, since I'm not dividing my attention as much.
You have one case? Ooh, I want you to represent me. How about I go commit a crime and you represent me? Because how can I lose? I got Scott freaking Turow to defend me here. I mean, that would be awesome.
Well, if you think so, call me when you get in trouble. But I hope it doesn't happen for both our sakes.
Yeah. Shame on me for
you. It'd be great, though, in front of a jury, John. I mean, just think about it. John Williams, you've all heard this voice. You know, he's as nice as he sounds. So.
Or maybe not. I mean, who knows? Maybe there's some prejudice against me. You know, one of the things, Scott, just about the process, if you don't mind, and that is, so you do have an idea for a book, and now you got to get that rock going up the hill. But I wonder how many of the, let's say the next book is going to be about a talk show host who's framed for murder, but he didn't do it. Steve Alexander did. And there's and you kind of know the basic construct, but the points along the way, you know, there's a lot of work to get from there to there. How much of that do you know when you start writing, how that book is going to go?
Very, very little. And to me, the fun part of starting once I can really begin is that, I just let my mind wander every day. I will sit down and, I'll try out little character sketches. I'll imagine scenes. I'll write patches of dialogue. I'll talk about a setting that I think is particularly interesting. I won't do that in any sequence. I just want to get as much onto the page and out of my imagination. And some of that I keep, and some of it I don't. But by the time I'm done with that, I'm a long way to a first draft. But the stuff you're talking about, the stuff that really makes a novel work, what I'd say, and you know, the imagined world, the details of that imagined world come slowly on a day-by-day basis.
But that must be part of the fun, too. That's your granddaughter's imaginary world, right?
It's great. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, do people do this to you a lot? You're at a cocktail party and they go, "Hey, Scott, I got an idea. The district attorney is leaving his practice."
Yeah.
And,
you
know, you just can't get out of that fast enough, right?
Yeah. Although my favorite, John, is I was once in my law office and I got a call from a lawyer in Miami. And he says, "I got a great idea. I got a great idea for a book." And I was like, you know, my lawyers have told me not to listen to other people's stories, ideas. No. He says, that's not why I'm calling. He says, what I want to know is, how do I sell the movie rights when I'm done with it? So, you know.
Well, that's confidence, although.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I wonder, when you're writing, because Harrison Ford has been the star of one of your books. I mean, are you thinking of the movie when you're writing the book?
No, I find the world in Hollywood, and let me just start again. Those people are always guessing about what's public taste. What is the, you know, what's going to attract an audience? And, you know, that's the job of the executives, is to guess about it. But, you know, tastes vary and they change so cyclically. You know, and I write what I want to write. And, you know, I published a novel a couple of years ago about an 85-year-old trial lawyer. Well, I was under no illusion that anybody in Hollywood was going to be racing in to scoop up that book because, you know, 85-year-olds, generally speaking, are not the demographic that go to movie theaters or even, you know, are watched much on TV. So I write what I want to write. I've been incredibly fortunate. Presumed Innocent has been remade. It's now going to be an 8-part Apple series. Jake Gyllenhaal is starring in that. You know, we were on the set in April. And that's always a thrill. You know, there are hundreds of people working on something that, you know, started in, you know, my case, in my basement and on the commuter train. And, you know, it's a really neat experience. I've enjoyed every minute of it. But, you know, I always say there's a reason I didn't move to Hollywood. And it's for that reason. I don't want to become overwhelmed by that world.
Now, we want you to stay in Chicago, the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame. The award ceremony, October 5th, 5 p.m., Harold Washington Library. What a lovely space and what a deserved honor. It's free and open to the public if you want to come along. Okay, Scott, well done. Continue writing. And maybe I'll call you later this week because here's the deal.
Okay.
The talk show host...
Okay.
Thank you for your time, Scott. It's nice to talk to you.
All right, John. Thank you. That's great. Thank you.